blessing.
Wasn't that a blessing?
Yes.
Thankful. Appreciate that. That's a new one. Appreciate that. Would you open your precious Bible this morning to the book of Ephesians? Book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. One of the Pauline epistles. As you're turning there, I want to begin a series of messages on Sunday morning. And they're just simply, we could call it back to the basics. Back to the basics. Now, 98% of you today, you'll hear something today that you've heard maybe hundreds of times. It might be some subject matter that you already know. But living in 2022, I have learned something. We are living in biblically illiterate days. Biblically illiterate days. And I don't just mean people that do not attend church, that do not consider themselves Christians, that do not consider themselves even someone that would be a churchgoer or a Christian. I'm telling you, I believe that we're living in days where even people that consider themselves to be Christians, if they were really put to task, if they were really asked, why do you believe what you believe, and can you show me or tell me why you believe what you believe, I'm telling you, church, I'm afraid that we're living in days, even the Christian church today, we have fallen on days of where we are illiterate when it comes to the Bible. Someone said to me the other day, said, Pastor, I do believe we can grow here. Said, I believe I can grow here. I have grown here. But he looked at me just straight faced. He said, but it's not enough. It's not enough. If all you get is what is preached behind this pulpit and taught behind this pulpit and not doing any Bible reading yourself and doing any devotions yourself, I'm going to tell you something. You are spiritually starved. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I do my very best. I don't believe we have one service, one message to waste. When I come here to church and I know I'm getting ready to deliver a message, I try, even if I'm hurting in my own heart and soul, I try to do my best to pour out what God's put in, because I feel like, look, every word matters. But we're living in a day where I believe that we're just biblically illiterate. So I want to go back to the basics. Now, again, and then I believe there's other people that they've just not had the influence of Christianity or the influence of the Bible for whatever reason. There might be people that they've just had no interest in it, but maybe something's happened in their life where they have gotten interested in the things of God. They feel like the Bible is more relevant to their life. I mean, for me, I was raised in a Christian home. I was drugged to church Sunday morning and Sunday night. I didn't have a choice. My parents made me go. And I don't say that like I'm whining. It's funny. We make children do everything today. We make decisions for children in a lot of ways. But we ought to be making decisions for children in their spiritual life as well. So when they get older, it can become their own. They have a choice. But I was raised in that kind of a home. And I'm going to be honest with you. I heard, I listened, I sat in church services, I sat in Sunday school, and there were times that something might pique my interest. But I'm going to tell you, when I really started, the Bible really became relevant to me, is when I made a mess of my life. When I hit a real bad spot in my life, when I got to a place of where I was looking up, and I mean, I was at the bottom, I was really struggling with life. Life had really knocked me down, and I was struggling with purpose of life, meaning of life. I thought, man, it has to be better than this. And for the first time in my life, at the age of 21, I started reading the Bible to get help. I started reading the Bible to find out, well, what does God say about this subject? Because it's amazing. You go to 40 different people, you're going to get 40 different opinions. But I wanted to know, what does God say about this? It amazed me what he said to me about it. It amazed me what God had said, and I found that by looking in the Word of God. So I'm not saying that It's entirely people's fault. I'm going to blame a lot of this on church leaders. I'll blame it on me for maybe our congregations not being where they should be, biblically, spiritually literate when it comes to what we believe and why we believe it. I had a young man call me the other day, and I'm going to be honest with you. I spoke with him for about 45 minutes, and he had so many different things that he was throwing at me. And this man truly believed what he was talking about. And I didn't want to sit there and make the man feel like, well, you're wrong, but we just try to talk about things. But I thought, what if this man would have confronted someone that doesn't spend a lot of time in the Bible, doesn't spend a lot of time trying to study? And by the way, if that person dealt with somebody that's not assured in their own heart and mind, for instance, now I'm going somewhere, please do your very best to stay with me. You know as well as I do, a couple of years ago, and I'm not being ugly, I'm just being honest, there's a man in this area, he believes different than me. He believes different than us. By the way, he has every right to believe that. We live in America. I'm not trying to tell people they shouldn't believe. We believe in religious liberty. If that's true, if I believe in religious liberty, that a man's going to give accountable to God, then I can't coerce that man. I can influence. I can try to encourage people. But I said to that man, I said, look, you have every right. I will defend your right to believe anything you believe, as long as you're not hurting people. And what I mean by that, breaking laws, physically hurting people, breaking the laws of the land. And we've had two conversations. And at the end of both of those conversations, I've gotten off the phone with that man. And I didn't just take this position and say, yeah, I'm right because it's just what I've believed and that's just what it is. I'm going to tell you what, church. Both times it got me back into the Word of God, and it really got me to study what I believe, and I need to be completely assured of what I believe based on the Word of God and not just because I want to be right. Sometimes Christianity has this arrogance, this cockiness to it that we should not have. That's just the way it is. Well, why is it that way? Explain it to someone. Some people have questions. They're not being defiant to you. They really don't know. But it's amazing how quickly and how defensive we get when people ask questions. By the way, the only way people can learn is to ask questions. Amen? I want to deal with back to the basics. And I want to just say this before I start. I wish I didn't have to start here. Have you ever heard, you ever had someone come up to you and say, hey, I got bad news and I got good news. Which would you like first? How many of you ever had somebody say that to you? I got bad news and I got good news. And what do we normally say? Well, go ahead, give me the bad news first. At least that's what I say. I say, all right, go ahead, give me the bad news. And then sometimes if it's really, really bad, then you know the good news ain't that good. But at least you're going to get the bad news on the front end. At least there's an attempt to be given some good news, because you always leave with a happy ending, right? So I'm sorry to say to you, this is not a message that I want to preach. To be honest, it's heavy. I don't want to preach it. It could be misunderstood. But nonetheless, we can't ignore it. And before we can get to the good news, we have to deal with the bad news. So if you'll look in Ephesians chapter 2, let's deal with some bad news. The Bible says in verse 1, and you hath he quickened, here's the bad news, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But I'm going to give you a little bit of good news, because we've got to give some good news in this bad news message today. But if you look at that word, verse 4, here's the one place where I like, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Can I get a witness? Even when we were dead in sins. hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Look at this now. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Aren't you glad salvation is a gift? It's very clear. But I want to just simply preach a series on Sunday mornings. I don't know how long we'll last. I know we're not going to deal with every little fundamental of the faith, but we're going to deal with a lot of them next week, Lord willing. I'm going to just deal with simply salvation. I want to deal with a lot of just basic things that I feel like we need to get back to the basics on. But we need to realize this, and this is the bad news. Here's the problem. For someone to be saved, for someone to realize their need of to being saved or to receive a Savior, they have to realize they're in need of one. Now, if I'm going to go out into the lake and I'm going to swim and I'm completely capable of paddling and keeping myself afloat, then I'm not going to call out for help. If I don't need help, I'm not going to call out for help. You know, most people are not going to call out for something that they do not need. Now, I know that's a little different in this day. Bless her heart, we were downtown Chattanooga last night, and I'm not being ugly, but there was a lady that came up to us. We were standing outside of a coffee shop, and this lady came up. Obviously, she was homeless, and she came up to us, and she came up to my brother-in-law, Mike, and she basically said she had had a heart attack that day. Look, here's what she knew, and this is what I knew. She knew that that ambulance was going to come and get her, and they were going to take her and have a warm bed. She's going to get a meal, and they were not going to refuse her. And I'm not being ugly about it, but I'm just saying, she asked for help, but she probably didn't need it. Probably. No, I can't say that for sure, but I'm just saying we live in a day now. I wish I could give to everybody, but the truth is, everybody that comes to you, they're not always in need of help. We realize that there are people that lie to us. Would y'all agree? But honestly, most people are not going to ask for something if they don't need, and they're not going to admit to something if they don't feel the necessity to do so. If I'm out in the river and I'm swimming and I'm starting to drown, I want you to know something. When I know I'm getting ready to drown and I have no longer the strength, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to be in need of a Savior, and no one's going to have to tell me about that. For the fear of my life and for the fear of my future, I'm going to recognize my need. But we live in a day where it's awful hard to get people to understand that they're in need of a Savior, because our society, our culture tells us that we're all basically good. If we put everybody in a good environment, they'll make good decisions. Well, we know that that's not true. Adam and Eve was in perfect utopia. There was no sin there, and they were only given one guideline. I mean, one. They could do thousands of things. They could do millions of things. They could eat of everything of that garden, but God just told them not eat of one fruit of that garden, and everything else they could do, but Satan tempted her, and she took of the one thing that they were told not to do. Isn't that just like us? Boy, we live in a day today where it's awful hard even to get parents to realize your children are in need of a Savior. Now, it's awful funny. We live in a day where other parents... Now, look, I can see all of your children's faults, but it's hard for me to see my own children's faults. Wow, I'm preaching to the choir today. It's amazing. We can see everybody else's faults, but, oh, wait a minute, don't touch mine. But I got news for all of you. And I love your children, I love you, and I love mine. But I'm going to tell you right now, mine has failed, they have sinned, and so will yours. And by the way, I love myself more than anybody, and my parents will tell you that I sinned. And the worst thing we can do today is to make excuses and to coddle our children when they're sinning. Why is that? Because in our basic man's makeup, we don't want to admit that we're wrong or in need of help. It's in us. So So my whole reason of preaching this message is I want to preach on the depravity of man. What does God say about mankind? It would be called anthropology, the study of man. And let's go to the Bible, for God is the one who created man, and the Bible says that He created us in His image. You say, Pastor Mark, how are we created in God's image? There must be a mistake in the Bible, because there's no way man can be created in the image of God. Oh no, we are created in the image of God. God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you're looking at a 3-in-1. You see my body, you're hearing my soul, and I'm revealing my spirit. I have a body, soul, and spirit. So do you. You're 3-in-1, so we were made in the image of God. The Bible's not incorrect, it's very correct. God said, I'm going to make man in my own, in our image, in mine image. And so He made us in His image by being a triune being. I have a body, soul, and spirit. You have a body, soul, and spirit. And I think we have to understand this because we're talking about the depravity of man. My body is what God has given me to relate to the environment around me. Normally, typically, you'll have 5 senses. Praise God, we've all had those senses before. We're thankful for them. But that's how we enjoy life around us. But then we have a soul. Our soul is the part of you and me that we cry, we laugh, we have emotions, we have intellect, we have our will. This is our soul of us. You cannot see my soul, you see my body, but you can hear my soul. I reveal my soul by communicating with you. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm sad, sometimes I'm confident, sometimes I'm not as confident. Sometimes I'm strong, sometimes I'm weak. This is all in the part of our emotional being of what God has given us, a soul. And then we have a spirit. We have a part of us that God has created us, that this is the part of mankind that relates to God. There's this emptiness there. God created it. So we live in a day where mankind is trying to feel, they're trying to feel this part of our spirit that God has made us that way for it to only be filled with Him, because our spirit is what relates to God. That's even with someone that is in the absolute jungles of Africa that has never heard the word Jesus. Listen to me, they're worshiping something. And the reason they're worshiping something is because God has given them a spirit, and inside of them it is for spiritual reasoning. So it affects everything. When I make the statement, everything is spiritual, it is. It affects our emotions. It affects our body. It affects my soul. It affects my body. My spirit affects all of those things. And so when I think, it's safe to say that most of us, I hope all of us understand this, we were all born in sin. Now, people don't like that. I don't like that. You see a perfect little baby born, and by the way, you know, someone say, oh, that's a beautiful little baby. Well, I'm sorry. I just don't know if I've ever seen a beautiful, brand new born baby. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's like they've went through war. Amen. Bless their little hearts. I mean, a lot of times they have them obtuse heads and their nose and their eyes and everything. I mean, they look like they've been through the battering ram already. But I'm just saying they're precious, they're beautiful, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You're holding in your hand a little baby that is born in sin. And the reason they're born in sin is because sin entered into the bloodstream of man when Adam and Eve sinned. It's passed into all man. But here's the thing, the lost. The Bible says we are condemned because of our sin, and we have no means of reconciliation. I'm going to be honest, people don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear that. I don't like for someone to say to me that I am a sinner, that you deserve hell. If you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. That's tough, because look, when you go out and talk to people, that's why people say to you all the time, oh no, I'm a good person. I'm going to be all right. I keep the Ten Commandments. I've been baptized. Oh, I go to church. Oh, I've never done anything wrong. I try to be basically good. And look, I believe all of that. I know people are trying to be good, but it has nothing to do with it. This passage of Scripture tells us, and I'm going to be honest, I don't like it. But I want you to look at verse number 1. And you hath he quickened. This is the tough part. Who were dead in trespasses. Now quickened, the word quickened means he's made you alive. When you hear the word quickeneth in the Bible, that always means alive. So he's made us alive. You were which were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. Now first of all, can I say the depravity of man. And I know this is not popular, but man is dead. Paul reveals this. In other words, here's what I want to say, and I say it heavy. Someone that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're still yet in their sin, here's what they are. They have a miserable existence, no matter how happy they seem to be. Why is that? See, Paul reveals that prior to salvation in Christ, being quickened, that means you've been made alive. That's good. I'm glad if you've been saved, you've come to life. You're alive now in Jesus. You're alive. You understand what life's about. But here's the part that we struggle with. And I know it's strong language, but we can't ignore it. God says that we are dead. I'm not physically dead. Not physically dead. We know that's not what the Bible's talking about here, that you're dead, in other words, physically, in the way we would think it physically. He says, no, you're spiritually dead. If you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, you've never been redeemed, you've never been saved. It's strong language, but we cannot ignore it. It's right there in the text. It's easily understood. He said, you are dead. All who are apart from God are dead in sin. I hate to say it like this, but they're walking about without the presence and the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. Someone that's lost. And that's where we were. And if you're here this morning, God bless your heart, we love you. If you've never been saved, listen to me. With all of the love and kindness in my heart, I say to you, based on the Word of God, you are still dead in your trespasses and sins until you trust Christ. He makes you alive. Just those who are physically dead can't respond. Those who are spiritually dead can't either. I want you to think about that a minute. The lost man doesn't see the beauty of the Creator. The lost man, he doesn't look at creation and say, oh, look at this beautiful creation that God created. No, he's trying to tell you reasons of why God didn't create it, and he's trying to tell you and to prove to you the theory of evolution. Because he's dead in his trespasses and sin. He has no enjoyment even thinking about a God because he's blind. He's dead. He does not understand the spiritual realm. He's dead. He doesn't hear the still small voice as a Christian hears. You can't hear when you're dead. So he doesn't hear. How many of y'all know you've ever been convicted of sin? Would you raise your hand? You hear that. How many of you ever heard that still small voice and you know it's of the Lord? Listen to me. A dead person doesn't hear that. So a lot of times when you're talking to someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have no idea what you're talking about. And we don't need to get frustrated with them. We don't get to get mad at them. Listen to me. They don't understand because they're spiritually dead. They can't hear. They have no experience in the loving touch of the Savior. They don't understand to see His love for everybody. The lost don't interact with the things of God. They don't have any interest in the church of God. I watched one of the nominees for one of the courts, and they were concerned this man was being nominated for one of the justices or one of the districts, and he put a ban on religious freedom through COVID, and some of the senators were concerned about him, and I was too. I couldn't imagine. He didn't shut anything else down. It was just church. I thought that was interesting. But to his man's defense, and one of the senators, our senator, I loved it. She asked him, she said, have you ever been to seminary? I thought that was an interesting subject. Miss Blackburn asked this judge, have you ever been? I've never heard a senator ask that. She asked him, have you ever been to seminary? It was amazing the answer he gave. And of course he had not been. He didn't go to church. But what he did is he used the Bible to use it against Christian and use it out of context. Now, I can sit there and say I'm mad at that man, but to be quite honest with you, based on the man's own profession, the reason he has no concern if the church meets or don't meet is because he's dead probably in his trespassing sins and he don't understand. He just doesn't understand. A dead person doesn't understand. I think we need to understand the reality of who we're living and dealing with today, church. We have to be wise. We have to be compassionate. We are dealing with people that we like to get mad at and we like to throw under the bus and we like to talk about how bad they are. But the truth is, they don't understand. They're dead. Just like us. They don't care about the Bible. Someone that's lost and don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm going to be honest with you, they don't care about this. By the way, the Bible said we were all in that state. He says it right here in chapter 2. He said, where in time past ye walked. In other words, he's saying it. All of you were dead. You were all like, and so I say to you, if you're here this morning and you're saved, you were still like this. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. I don't like that, do you? It's true. Think about it now. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't like that verse either, do y'all? But honestly, it's a miserable existence. Then can I say this? It's undeniable evidence. You know, people say, show me the evidence. I want to see the evidence. Well, the Bible says right here, and he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Prior to salvation, the Bible very clearly tells us we were all dead in trespasses and sin. Pastor, you don't understand. I'm a good person. I'm not a bad person. Pastor, you don't understand. I live a good moral life. I just haven't been saved. Well, listen to me. I'm not being ugly, but I've never heard of degrees of deadness. Please understand me. Dead is still dead. I'm not trying to be ugly here. But all of you that hunt, you know, we have certain regulations to humanely take an animal. And those are good for because you want to humanely take an animal. The older I get, the harder it is, you know. And I say that when I was younger, you know, if something, you know, I just wanted to make sure I got it. But now, when I go up to it, as the age that I'm at, I hope it's dead. Because I struggle with it just a little bit. I know I said it. But I'd rather it be dead than me have to go up and finish it again. Now, when I was younger, that didn't bother me, but it bothers me. Now, see, things happen when you get older. But they have rules, you know, but I'm just saying, you can't use a rimfire on a deer. It's illegal to use a rimfire. And a rimfire on a deer is like a .22. You got to use a centerfire for a deer, and the reason being is because it's going to be more humane. But I'm going to tell y'all something right now, and I'm not saying I've ever done it. But I've been in the presence of people that's shot a deer right between the eyes with the .22, and I'm going to tell y'all something right now. Dead as a doornail. So what I'm trying to say there is, it don't much matter how something is dead. It can be a little hole or a big hole. I've heard people say that the person was laying there and they had passed, and look here, they looked like they didn't have a scratch. They looked like they were just asleep. But the truth is, they were still dead. And that happens all the time. People come to me, oh, well, Pastor, I just don't understand a God in heaven to throw me into hell. I'm a good person. Well, first of all, I'm sorry. The Bible says you're dead without Christ. I'm sure you are a good person. I'm sure you try to do your best. It has nothing to do with your morality. It has everything to do with your spirituality. We are dead spiritually before we know Christ. So we're all guilty of trespasses and sins. Trespasses speak of just falling by the wayside. It's a fault. It's an error. It's a committing a mistake or wrongdoing. You may have been a good person, but we're all guilty of sin. And see, the consequence of our sin is separation from God. Now, we may choose to ignore or deny the fact that we're dealing with people that are not sinners. But listen to me. The Bible very clearly says, without Christ, they are dead. And I know that rubs people the wrong way. I know that bothers people, especially if they're not used to being in church. They don't hear the language of the Bible because they think, oh, you're standing in a place of holiness and saying that they're all dead in trespasses. No, listen to me. I've been dead in my trespasses and sins. And by the way, I still struggle with my sin. I still struggle with my flesh. But I want you to know something. Spiritually speaking, the Bible says that we're all dead in trespasses and sins without Christ. So we are dead. Number two, quickly, the Bible says we're disobedient. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh the children of disobedience. See, man outside of salvation, we don't like this either, but they're really at enmity with God. You say, oh, pastor, those people are good people. They're not enemies of God. They are spiritually. If they're not saved. He's a life. Look at the affection in verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Now, I want to say this to y'all, and I want to use a personal illustration. Prior to me getting saved, look, I didn't have any desire to have a relationship with the Lord. That wasn't my affection. I didn't care about Him. I didn't live my life thinking, well, what would the Lord think about this? I made my own decisions. I did my own thing. See, a lost person's affection, you know, their affections will be shown on the things that they desire. Like I said, I think as Christians, we need to be very careful because that's all they know. I didn't have much interest in church. The only reason I went is because my parents made me go. You know, people like talk like that now, like that's a bad thing. Like, you know, I've learned some things have changed. I've learned this. Y'all don't get mad at me, but I've watched this in 26 years. Parents are no longer training children. Children are training the parents. I mean, there used to be a time where the mom and dad, they led everything. I mean, look, they led everything. Now, the children have trained the parents to do everything they want. And if they know you don't, they'll throw a fit on you in the middle of the store. They've trained you. I can't do anything out in public. Yeah, you can't, but you sure can at home. By the way, there'll be a whole lot less discipline that has to take place in the public if there's a lot of talk and a lot of loving, tender training at home. I think I have to share this. Brother Hedrick, I went over to see Brother Hedrick the other day, and I always enjoy talking to Brother Hedrick. When me and Brother Hedrick get together, there's one thing I want to talk about the past. I want to go back. I want to go back. Man, I want to go back to the farm. I want to go back. I asked him about the Korea War a little bit. But the other day, we were talking about just the old days. And you know, if y'all ever noticed, and I'm not saying that at all, but if y'all noticed that back years ago, and I never asked anybody this, but I asked Brother Hedrick. I said, Brother Hedrick, why back years and years ago, everybody had large families. They had like 12, 13 kids. God help us. Now, I say, wait, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I'd have died if I'd had 12 or 13. But I asked him, I said, Brother Hedrick, and I've never asked anybody this. I said, Brother Hedrick, why do you think that families back years ago had large families, 12, 13, 14 kids? I loved his answer. I think he's right. He said, well, Pastor, back then, most people had to work for their living. They had to work on farms. He said, when you had children, you raised them to work and you raised them to help on the farm. You raised them to work. You raised them to be a part of your family so they could help make you successful and to live. Oh, that's child labor laws now. Oh my goodness, they're sweating to death. Well, y'all would have locked up all of these parents when Brother Hedrick was out there with a two-horse mule plowing a whole field. You say, "Oh, Pastor, where are you getting off?" Well, I'm just saying I might be a little rodent running some rabbits, but I'm going to snare that rabbit. I believe we just need some good old-fashioned hard working. And I think parents train that. You know why? Because basically me and you and your children and my children, I'm going to tell you what we are in our flesh. We're lazy. We're lazy. Could I get a witness? We have tendency to be lazy. And so, again, I'm talking about the depravity of man. We're disobedient. Our affection. You say to me, "Pastor, why don't you get out?" Well, because my affection, I don't really want to work from daylight to dark, do y'all? I mean, that's not one of my affections. But I'm just saying, our flesh, he very clearly says, prior to salvation, you have no desire. Your affection is not on those things. It's very simple. And then I want to just say this quickly. Man is depraved. Look at the third verse. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind." Now, let me explain this. I believe Paul reveals the depraved nature of the lost, the depraved nature of human beings. First, its nature. The lost man is dominated by his desires. Now, let me state just a minute. Just because you get saved don't mean that all your desires change. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I struggle with desires and the wrong things right now, and I'm saved. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying that once you get saved that you're going to live a perfect life. He's saying, but for the lost person, the nature of that lost person, he doesn't have any other chance. He doesn't have any other measuring rod. He is only going to be living by the desires of his flesh. It's his nature. We talked about animals earlier. You ever notice you've never had to train certain dogs or animals to do certain things? It amazes me every year, a certain time of the year, birds will migrate. Who teaches those birds to do that? No one teaches them. It's in their nature. Nobody has to teach lost people how to sin because it's in our nature. And then we see the necessity. We see that man in his sin has one objective in life. He has one objective. Now, by the way, I still have this objective as a saved person. I'm going to be honest. I think a lot of myself. And I have desires sometimes that are not right. But for a lost man, he has nothing to combat that. Can I say to the Christian, can I just say this a moment? If you're struggling, you're in a good place. If you're not struggling, you're probably in a bad place. Does that make sense? Because just because you get saved doesn't mean that your old flesh goes on vacation. Doesn't mean your desires go on vacation. Doesn't mean for you to want to do the wrong things. They don't go on vacation. Now the lost man, they never go on vacation. That's what he's trying to say here. For the lost person, for someone that doesn't know Jesus, they don't have any other desires than to do what they want to do. Their whole goal in life is to satisfy themselves. They don't think of anybody else. They don't care about anybody else. That's why they will only think of themselves. Why? Because man's depraved. That's who we are without Christ. And then can I say as I close, I sadly say man is doomed. Verse 3, "And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now, Paul referred to these lost as children of disobedience in verse number 2. But now we see them as children of doom. Someone that's never trusted Christ, the natural man. The Bible says they're of doom. Those who haven't accepted Christ, they're the children of wrath, the Bible says. Children of wrath. So as God looks upon them, he sees their sin. He sees their depravity. He sees their disobedience. See, when you get saved, you become justified. People don't understand this phraseology. Doesn't mean that you're perfect. A Christian's not perfect. But spiritually, what happens when you get justified, God no longer sees Mark Brandon's sin. He no longer sees Mark Brandon's disobedience. He sees his son's account, which is perfect. Spiritually, see? Doesn't mean that I'm perfect. Doesn't mean that I'm even thinking perfectly at the time. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God's gift to us for salvation, His righteousness has been provided for. His wrath has been paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the punishment has been paid. So when we accept the gift of Christ, it appeases the wrath of God. Do you understand that? It's not that we get a pass. It's not that Christians, no. The Bible still says we're going to be responsible for our sin, the consequences of our sin here. Now, we will never have to pay for the consequences of our sin when we get to heaven. There'll be no penalty of sin in heaven. God's forgiven us. But there's no middle ground. You're either saved or lost. And I know that sounds horrible, but that's what the Bible teaches. So my question this morning is this. I say all of this to say this. Are you saved? That's the most important question a person can answer. Are you saved? Are you justified in the sight of God? Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean that you've done everything right. By the way, you have a preacher standing up here. He don't do things right. So I'm not sitting down looking down my big high nose down on you. I'm telling you, I'm an old sinner saved by grace. John 3:36 says this, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now we don't like that. I don't like that. If you haven't been saved, born again through the blood of Jesus, you're lost under the wrath of God. That's heavy stuff, church. I will admit that this type of message is little heard in our day. This type of message is not one that's enjoyable to hear. And I can promise y'all this. I promise you this. It's not enjoyable to preach. Someone asked me earlier, you okay? Struggling a little bit. Why are you struggling? Well, this is heavy. I'd have much rather got up here, give me a J. Give me an E. Give me an S. Give me a U. Give me an S. Y'all ain't even participating. What's that spell?
Jesus.
You get a much rather for the pastor guy up here this morning and say, oh, everything's going to be all right. By the way, it is going to be. And I'm not saying that for y'all to feel sorry for me. I'm just telling you, Bible's full of good and bad. But we need it all. Y'all know, what was that stuff? It was methylate. Now, some of you that's younger, y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. Give me that mercuricone. I got some mercuricone. The Sexton's brought me some mercuricone. You can't find it no more. You got to go to another country to get it. Amen? They go to other countries. But I'm going to be honest with y'all. My dad, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. If you got a cut on your hand, if you had, it didn't matter. Dad said, let's go get some of that methylate. I was like, no, don't put none of that methylate. And then I got smart because both of them's red. And I'd say, which one burns? He said, oh, neither one. I said, you're lying to me. Some of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about, mercuricone and methylate? Help some of these younger people. I guess now we've probably found some reason it's medically wrong to give it. That's where we are today. I mean, stuff that worked 40 years ago, it don't work no more. Well, why not? It sure did clear up my cuts and bruises and stuff. Worked pretty good. Oh, well, we found out that it's caused... Tell you what it caused me. It caused my thing to scab really quick. But I love that mercuricone. How many of y'all like that mercuricone? How many of y'all like me yelling like that methylate? That stuff burned, isn't it? But here's what would happen. Dad put that stuff on. He's, oh boy, toughen up, boy. Get on there. It'll be good for you. It's good for you. He said, toughen you up. He said, in a couple of days, it'll be fine. In other words, what he was saying is, I know it hurts right now, but you need it. And you know what? Sometimes messages, we don't like them, but we need them. How many of y'all used to take that, what is that stuff, castor oil? How many, no, I don't know about that, thank God. How many of y'all ever had to take castor oil? Would you raise your hand? Would they not say, oh, I know it tastes horrible, but it'll help you? You know, just like my mom used to say, or my dad say, oh, I know right now, you're going to understand one day, I'm going to have to give you a spanking. I love you. One day you'll, I said, well, I wish you wouldn't love me so much. But you know, as I've gotten older, I've realized we're hurting people by not telling them the truth. We're hurting people by not telling them the truth. We're hurting them. So this morning I begrudgingly told you the truth. Without Christ, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. But here's the good news today. He loves you anyway. And He died for you anyway. And I'll tell you what He'll do. He will take you today exactly the way you are if you'll come to Him in faith and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sin. I am asking you to save me. And I mean, when you put your faith, you repent, you trust Christ as your Savior. I'm going to tell you what to do. He'll become your Father, and He'll be a Father that you're glad you have. Man, He's a good dad. He is a great dad. I hope and pray you know Him today. If not, here's my question. Why not? Today's the day. We love you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I'm saved. You need to get it settled today. Just get it settled. Just get it settled. If you're here today and you do not have a church home, you need to get a church home. We'd like to be your church home. And we'd love for you. If you attend in church, you attend this church, you love being here, then just come on. We'd love for you to come. With everyone standing to their feet, head bowed, eyes closed, can I ask this morning? You say, Pastor, I'm here this morning and I am so thankful. I'm not perfect. And I know I don't deserve it. But I know that I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I have put my faith and trust in Him. And based on His Word, I've repented of my sin. He has given me everlasting life. How many of you know that in your heart based on His Word? Would you raise your hand? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Absolutely wonderful. Let me ask you this. You say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand. I want you to pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. You say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand. I want you to pray for me. Would you pray for me? I'm struggling with that. Would you raise your hand where I can see it? Just where I can see it. Is anyone like that at all? Can I ask you this? How many of you know somebody and you believe they're lost? They don't know Christ as their Savior. You know someone like that? Then I'm going to ask as we close in this invitation, I'm going to ask you, would you pray and ask God to touch that person's heart, to reveal to them that they're in need of a Savior? How many of you are thankful? You don't deserve it, but you're saved. You ever just think about that? Could you imagine if you was raised in Africa and you never heard of the word Jesus? Ever thought about that? How many of you are grateful today that you've heard and you accepted the great gift of salvation through Christ? You excited about that? When's the last time you thanked Him? Maybe you'll take this moment, an invitation, just to bow our unworthy head and just thank Him for saving us, oh unworthy sinners. They're going to begin to play something. I'm going to ask, would you let the Lord have His way in your heart? If you don't come forward and pray, why don't you pray right there where you stand? The depravity of man. See, to be saved, you got to realize you got to need saved. To the basics. Depravity of man. We'll talk about salvation next week. We'll deal with some subjects. What about the Bible? What about our Bible? There's such confusion about that today. What about our Bible? What about prophecy? What about end time? Is the Lord Jesus coming back? What about the church? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your goodness to us. Now, Lord, I pray that you will help us today as we think on this. We're thankful today. We don't deserve it, but you've saved us from our sins. Lord, I pray that you'll help us now to walk with you. Lord, I pray that ministries of this church will go forward. I think of our vacation Bible school coming up. Lord, I pray you'll bless it and use it. Lord, I pray you'll help all of us, our teachers, all of our workers, all of us. Help us. Give us wisdom as we deal with people, Lord, that just don't understand. Give us wisdom. Well, thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people say it. God bless you. Have a great day. Enjoy your afternoon.